This is SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, you'll find it here. It's Insight Applied. And now, here's Brad and Scully.
Hello, school marketers, and welcome to SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, we'll talk about it here. I'm Brad Entwistle, and this is episode 116 for Wednesday, October the 4th, 2017. Scully, right next to me, how are you, my friend?
Well, I can honestly say never better. I am looking at the remarkables across the most stunning lake here in Queenstown, New Zealand. And I've got to say, it's a beautiful place. And we have been talking everything, school marketing, big and small. A wonderful, wonderful time.
And so we're at the Association of Heads of Independent Schools of Australia. It's their biennial conference once every 2 years. This year happens to be here, and we, as part of the job, Scully, we had to come to beautiful Queenstown.
It's called Taking One for the Team. We've prepared to do it. Yeah, it's a stunning place, and we've had some great conversations with real industry leaders. Fantastic opportunity, and what a place to be.
And so AHISA, as they're more commonly known, we're a partner. Image 7 are a partner with AHISA, and they're also a client, and we've just completed their new visual identity and their new website, ahisa.edu.au, which pretty much all got unfurled in the last few days.
Yes, we dipped at the line in time for the conference. All is well. We can breathe a sigh of relief and share some of more of the insights that we've had from the last 2 days.
More of that in a little while, but right now to news that you can use.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And first up, that has actually cut through the clutter with us this week of the conference, everything that's going on, and it's a fairly full few days of conversations and events and, of course, good education for everybody. But Richard Knott, who is the regional director at CELTRA, I hope I've said that right, penned an article, How to Maintain Brand Consistency Across Borders. Now, Richard here, Scully, was actually more thinking about borders as in national borders, but we immediately saw relevance in the school market.
In my blinkered, narrow-minded way, I thought, who needs to break borders on an international basis when we've got schools to organise and there's more internal barriers, borders, than most organisations? And it's a good example of thinking, how do we get that brand consistency? It's a crowded marketplace, digitally more than ever. It's never been more important to make sure that our message, the brand message, is executed really well, really strongly. But how do you do it consistently? How do you get, there's so much sort of clutter around within our own brand and certainly in the different stakeholders within your school and from alumni to the parents' organizations, all sorts of things. So how do we cut through that on any level, internationally or down to the grassroots in your own school? And he talks well about any really organization that takes their branding seriously. They need to be consistent throughout the whole process.
So one particularly good point that I think he made was that consistent information, and again, he's talking about things like which ads are created for what regions, with what technologies and that. But for schools, very much the same sorts of issues, but just with different boundaries, I suppose. You know, that all of that information about what performs best in what markets, what publications, but getting all of that information into one place.
Yeah, and look, you can call it as fancy international branding as you like. The very, very clear, practical way is through a style guide. It's just about centralizing that information. Now, and that's not to be in some file sitting on your bookshelf, but it's really important that it's accessible. Yes, that you can police it and monitor it, but that so that everyone who you expect who has a touch point or at least some input into that, and they may be sending information out or pulling together a brochure or an ad or something for a school play, they're able to access and make sure that they are using your brand correctly.
How often do we see schools who actually do have a style guide? So a style guide in the most generic form we're talking about here. So a style could be a visual identity style guide, could be a writing style guide, could be a messaging style guide. We often call them key message guides. But also along with all of that information about what performs, what you've done in the past, what's worked well, all being in one place. But how often do we see all of that? And it's held close, it's held tight, and it's just inside, you know, with one person or inside the marketing office, whereas it should be out there for everybody to refer to all the time.
That's right. Now, no matter what the platform, particularly digitally, as we said, there's so many new platforms, but you've got to make it easy for in-house marketers, but everyone really, to access this. And it's a better way to ensure better quality work. But a classic one that people, and he talks about on sort of his global level, but it applies so incredibly for schools. We spend a lot of time going deep into school marketing with clients. And the very basics in saving time might be to create templates that embed particular guidelines and best practices so that really it makes it easy for everyone to use. But it's very practical, simple, and time effective. We're also time starved. So the T word, templates, is a wonderful way to police, maintain, and just manage your marketing.
So one of the issues, of course, today in all school marketing is that there's so much information swirling around, growing number of, yeah, as you say, those far-reaching digital channels. The digital goes much further, often in a much more uncontrolled space than we've ever experienced before. We're under more time pressure to create messages that always resonate with our audience and always are adding to the equation, moving audiences to engage with us. And yet we've got less resources to do that. So this sort of organization would almost seem as a no-brainer. And yet we're talking about it on a school level. He's talking about it on a grand, you know, global scale. It seems everybody's got the same problem.
It totally does. And you know what? Yes, it takes a bit of time to pull it all together. Yes, it can be a bit of a pain, but it will save you an enormous amount of time, not just be more powerful and make your branding and your marketing more effective. It's going to save you a lot of time in the long run as well.
And now to news item number two. And once again, it seems that we're talking about culture. And in this opinion piece by Emily Hare, she speaks of internal culture breaks out. And it seems that now more than ever, what's going on inside organisations around the world, it's surfacing and affecting the entire organisations in both good ways and bad. And of course, well, Scully, one that we've sort of kept a tab on, so to speak, is Uber. And just the other day, it was announced that they've lost their license to operate in London, partly because its, quote, approach and conduct demonstrate a lack of corporate responsibility. Now, that was Transport for London's language. But this is big news, and this is about culture. And of course, Uber's had all sorts of other culture issues. What say you, Mr. Scully?
Well, look, this has got a lot to do with schools because as a parent looking from the outside in or just as any stakeholder, you really want to know what's going on the inside. If you want to understand the essence of that culture. And it's such an important element to try and communicate. And I think very often we don't do that. We put across the facilities, the ovals, the science lab, but we forget what's at the very core. And we're in a human business, education, and it's about really trying to get across what that culture is. And there's some really impressive companies out there who are taking it very, very seriously because they've realized, well, hopefully it's because I actually care about their culture, but they've also realized that their customers, that's our prospective parents, our existing community. They want to know about what it's like within. Now, it's a great way of retaining great staff. It's a great way of keeping your students engaged and happy, but it's also a really excellent way to communicate and to highlight within your own marketing. So companies, they're talking about in this case, but schools that value, prioritize their internal culture, taking care of their staff's well-being, and that's the whole community's well-being, growth and fulfillment, are not only performing well, this is in the corporate world, they're really just winning on every level. So in terms of your own marketing, in terms of your own communication, getting across the essence of your culture is really important.
So, of course, culture requires communication to actually even work. Now, a lot of that is, of course, interpersonal communication, but there's a heck of a lot of it, which is planned, systematic, written down in words, communicated in video and audio. And in fact, on that, there was a really good example. Is it Carrefour is the way you say the firm's name? You're familiar with that. I'm not. This is totally unrelated to schools, but it was a really good example because you were running the video of how they released a copper-based fabric that protected employees from bacteria.
Yeah, look, Carrefour is an international, multinational, it's actually a French supermarket chain, basically, is where it all started. And of course, their people on their floor are interacting all the time with all sorts of stuff, from people, from customers to who knows what. There's germs everywhere is what they're trying to say. So the message that they got across here, yes, is we care about our staff and them not getting sick. But of course, that knock-on effect is about cleanliness. And so think about what's important within your school, within the community and within the culture. And you look after your own people, and it's not only going to be positive for them, it's what the broader community want to hear as well. So it's a win-win.
So at the end of the day, one of the reasons that we keep coming back to culture is that as much as we love and appreciate and promote communication strategy, the old saying, culture eats strategy for breakfast, is absolutely true. And we know that using communication to focus on those cultural issues in your school are so important. It improves retention from parents, it improves engagement and alignment with all the staff, you know, and on top of it all, your parents are going to love to hear about the work that you're doing, and they will be able to see and feel that strength of the culture in your school when it's communicated well and consistently over time. Moving on to news item number 3, 27 things that you can do to promote your ebook. This was just so practical that it made it to our list. So we often, as marketers, pour so much time and effort into creating what we'd call the cornerstone pieces of content, those major pieces of content that we base lots of other things around. And yet, then when it comes time to turn them on, promote them, we're marketers. We shouldn't forget this sort of stuff. But we do. We get so caught up in the creation that the promotion gets lost. And that's actually where at least half of the work is.
I'd love to say we've never done that, but we have. You know, because promoting an ebook, it gets beyond just creating a landing page, a tweet, you know, sending a link out there. There's so much more to it. And if you've put the effort in, then you want to get the bang for your buck or whatever. You want to get as much mileage as you can out of content. And if it's worth the time that you put in, then it's a criminal waste to not really go to town and let the world know about it. And there are some really 27 tips, apparently, according to this. So here goes. First of all, remember, people, the world and his wife, they sort of digest content, take it on board in different ways. So bearing that in mind, the more you, technical word, chop it up and share it.
I think, Scully, the correct term is atomizing the content.
Oh, thank you for that. The more kind of buzz you'll get about this piece of content you've created, an ebook or whatever you want to call it. So it's about really finding a way. Let's some really simple examples. So turn each chapter into a blog post within your blog, or get someone, record someone in your team reading part of the ebook and launch it as an audiobook. You can create an infographic, which are always very effective, with the ebook's tips or quotes. Host a Twitter chat on the topic if you dare enter into the world of Twitter. Write a guest blog post for other sites or partners that might also be interested, that you can, and that can do a great job in the social media to share further this great work that you've done, the opinion piece that you've written, ultimately to showcase how you know your topic.
A few other thoughts. You could work the ebook into your nurture programs or drip campaigns for your prospective parents. So you can take that cornerstone piece of content that may not actually be getting seen by those particular prospects, and you can make sure that they see it by giving it to them, even though it might be one ebook that becomes 5, 10 or more emails over time, of course. And you could create a content pack for your existing prospective parents. You could include some testimonials, perhaps a case study about one particular student, other ebooks, some brochures, and of course the schools always have a lot of that sort of material. But that content pack can be digitized, it can be physical, it can go in so many different ways. And of course, talking about digital and print, well, don't forget about print. You've heard us say it before, print is now so exceptional in its rarity that it's becoming the in thing once again.
Yeah, don't be afraid of just good old-fashioned print it, give it, to prospects, to whoever it is that you feel is the right audience, of course. But don't be afraid to print this book. It gives a real tangible value, and there's something nice and tactile about the printed word as well. So what we've touched there on half a dozen different tips, have a look at the show notes. There's a whole heap of them. But if you've gone to the effort of creating content to not promote it within an inch of its life is just such a missed opportunity.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And now to our sponsor, who is, as you all know, if you're a regular listener, is the School Marketing Institute, or SMI. But rather than hear us rabbit on about it, you can listen to Kerr Fulton Peebles, who is principal of Esperance Anglican Community School.
I think we decided to become an SMI member because I recognised that in our marketing efforts, what we were not doing was coordinating all of the different elements of it. And SMI, to my mind, combined all of those elements in a cohesive and integrated way, which was very appealing. It provides a whole range of opportunities within the package, which we would otherwise have not been able to have accessed or only done so at a significant cost. So it's a very, I think, affordable package. It certainly is appealing from that point of view. It provides a framework in which I can work, and it's not just a case of me selecting at random ideas which fly across the desk and think, oh, that might be quite good. This puts it all together in a manageable way, which I think will provide a much more focused and, I hope, effective platform to do it all from. As head of the school, obviously, time is at a premium. And in a small school, I'm combining that with a marketing role. SMI provides a framework for me to work from. And as a consequence, I think it will enable me to be much more efficient in the use of my time.
If you'd like to learn more, visit image7.com.au/SMI.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And now it's time for our marketing example. And, well, Scully, we were sort of prepared, but we, at the conference, came across another example that we just thought we had to highlight. And this is Ravenswood, a girls' school in Sydney. Now, we at Image 7 have quite a number of times had the assignment to communicate a strategic plan. Now, strategic plans are wonderful. They're important documents. We're trying to gee ourselves up here. But they are important documents. But usually the communication of those documents becomes pretty harsh, because what most people need to know is the top level, and they need to know that they exist. All the detail is actually known by very few people inside the school, and they're the people who are charged with executing it. And that in itself creates a communication problem, because you've got a very deep, important, detailed piece of content, that's the full strategic plan, and yet the largest audience that needs to know about it really want to give it, well, actually they want to give it zero time. They probably are happy to give it about 60 seconds. So we came across one of the presentations. There was this wonderful video from Ravenswood that communicated their strategic plan. Scully, what did you think about it? I thought it was pretty good.
It was really good. It brought to life what can be a very dull document. And in effect, it sold it. But part of, not only was it great content, first of all, they didn't do anything by half measures. They went for a really high quality video that would have taken some organization, would have taken a budget. But out of that, and I'm sure they could have edited lots of footage out of it and used it for other things too in the future, but it really made you wanting to read this important document, which ultimately communicates the vision for the school going forward, the whole plan into the long term, which unfortunately can be very, you know, can be kind of dull to read. And he did it by whetting the appetite, by almost in a really motivational way, making you want to see it. Now, they had the principal speaking, but they were clever. What's a girls' school about? You know what? It's not about them bricks and mortar. It's about the girls. So they had the girls talking, and there were certain themes. The tagline was liberally layered throughout, and there are certain key themes, six key themes, which we won't go into now, but they had the girls introducing those and almost being a living case study as to how well the school works and how incredibly, powerfully, wonderfully fast and exciting futures they're going to be building to as well. It was motivational. It was well produced. And of course, the principal did a great job too.
And that's so important. Now, this was presented to us in an entirely different context. And I think Scully and I were immediately going off in a different track, at least I know I was, in viewing that video. Principal did a fantastic job, and it highlighted the need for principals. And this is something that I've been working on a bit more of late, trying to start to document the sorts of skills that heads of schools need to have in a video age. You just can't afford to say, no, I don't like being on video as a school head anymore. You've got to be comfortable with it. So that's a bit of work that you'll probably see and have access to in the not too distant future about helping heads actually communicate well on video. This particular principal did a sterling job and communicated the strategic plan in a way that was enjoyable. It was engaging and I think will have done the school no end of good with their stakeholders.
Yeah, absolutely. They use graphics well and I just can't wait to get hold of it.
Absolutely. Now, because as we speak, we can't find it anywhere. So we're going to have to do a bit more investigation, and if by the time you get to listen to this, have a look at the show notes. If there is a link there, you'll know we've found it. If not, bad luck.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And so it's time to rants and raves. And Scully, as we sit here in your hotel room, which I've got to say, once again, you've got the pick of the rooms. We're looking out across a beautiful lake into the mountains, the snow-capped mountains on a beautiful day, albeit relatively cold from my point of view anyway. But we have been impressed with not only how well, of course, the conference has been planned, but actually how all this has come together. And we've had a bit of an insight into that this has taken 3 years of planning. And in this case, a ginormous, this is a country-sized brand New Zealand. And yet the background execution to make this conference happen in line with the big New Zealand tourism brand, we've been able to see just a little bit of the funnel as that's gone through the macro to the micro process across 3 years.
Yeah, I'm so impressed from what I've heard. I mean, clearly it's an amazing place, New Zealand. Clearly Queenstown is perhaps one of the jewels in the crown. You know, it's no accident that New Zealand has achieved what it has in tourism. If they're looking at communicating with their corporate partners like they have with AHISA, it starts with incredible attention to detail, doing the hard yards for the prospective client, because these things go out for tender. You organize a conference, then there's hundreds of people involved spending an awful lot of money. And the way that they've brought the New Zealand brand to life all the way through the process, yes, as an end user, but right the way through decision-making process, engagement on an individual basis, then collectively producing great marketing material that can easily be used by the end user. Absolutely sort of seamlessly done. The digital landscapes lent itself to it very well because we can share such great content. But it's had the whole industry chomping at the bit to get over here. And yeah, they've done a great job in organizing and in infusing everyone about it and now delivering. Quite superb.
One of the things that's really stuck out to me as we talked to the organizers and understood a little bit more about the process that Tourism New Zealand went through in, well, first of all, attracting and then supplying all the information that they needed to make a decision. Well, let's face it, for an Australian association to travel internationally for the national conference, you know, it's a bit of a thing. And New Zealand won it. But there was so much more in that brand, if you look at it that way, that big nebulous sphere called the brand. It was what we see is probably only 5 or 10%. Behind that, there's 90% of sheer grunt work, which was executed well on time and with quality to attract and then facilitate the conference.
Yep, they really know what they're doing, but they've got a pretty good product to sell.
Indeed. So don't shy away, I suppose, is our message from all the hard work that goes on behind the visible part of your brand, because it's that which is, you know, your brand is a promise. And the outcome of that or the outworkings of that is really where that promise is fulfilled. It's not fulfilled just in making that grand promise in New Zealand's case of 100% pure, which mostly it is, I think. But all of that hard work for 3 years to bring this conference to date. So I think, Scully, an unqualified rave.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
In fact, what we'll do is we'll get Scully to take a photo of his hotel window and we'll put that with the show notes just so you can be envious. I am. Now, onto more mundane rants and raves, just one that came to my attention that I wanted to bring to your attention. WPP is one of the huge holding companies for ad agencies and creative services globally. They are big. And, you know, if you look at the Creative Media, you probably will have seen one of the commentators who commentates a lot is Sir Barton Sorrell. He's the CEO of WPP. Interesting thing is that WPP has continued to hedge its content bets by announcing a strategic investment in a podcasting company, Gimlet Media. Now, if you're not familiar with Gimlet, don't worry. Even if you're a podcast fanatic and you don't know about Gimlet, don't worry, you're not supposed to see it. That's the name behind the podcasts. But search for Gimlet Media in your podcast engine and you'll certainly find some of their very high-rating podcasts. But $5 million for a minority stake in Gimlet Media. And Gimlet do work for things like Alphabet, the holding company, of course, for Google, Ford, PepsiCo, Match Group, eBay, Goldman Sachs, Microsoft, just to name a few. And it's really interesting to me that one of the mega holding companies for creative endeavours in advertising and creative services around the globe, seeing podcasts as a way of the future. Not the future, just part of the overall mix that organisations are going to want to actually participate in, and so they're getting involved. Scully is doing weird things, taking photos across the... We'll see if that one actually makes it and works. Oh, look at that. We've got a photo and Scully and I are both there, but all you can see is the shape of our heads. But the better-looking part, which is New Zealand, is visible. So back to the program. Absolutely, podcasts are part of the future. I don't think they're going to go away. There is so much about audio that works. Let's face it, you're listening to this. You've been listening to us rabbit on for nearly half an hour and you're still here with us. So don't ignore podcasts. Schools can do podcasts. So for me, I think I often look at WPP with a little bit of cynicism, I must say. But Scully, I think that's another rave.
Oh, huge rave. Well done to Gimlet. And what does it tell us? It tells us it's a great medium. Get on board the podcast wave because it's working.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And that almost brings us to the end of episode 116 of SMC. Now, if you're listening from the Image 7 website, you can pop over now to your favourite podcast player, get your fortnightly dose of school marketing and communications goodness. You can search for SMC, School Marketing and Communications, and you'll find us there. Now, if you've got any questions, some comments, marketing examples, or a rant or rave of your own, we'd love to hear about it. You can email us, smc@image7.com.au. And for Scully and myself, we've got to get ready and go to the final wrap-up dinner after a ride on a, what do you call them, skylift, a gondola?
I think it's called a gondola, but yeah, skylift. Chair, it's not a chairlift, skylift.
And with that, thank you very much for joining us. That's it from this episode of SMC. From Andrew and myself, Brad Entwistle, bye for now.
Goodbye.